If you would, take your Bibles and turn to Proverbs, please, chapter 3. That'll be my text verse. I'm going to say a few other things first. I don't have the experiences of Brother Godfrey and Brother Richie. I don't have all the good stories to tell you. I'm a sailor, but I don't really have any salty sea stories to tell you either. But I will tell you this. I have a friend who's a missionary in Japan for 50 years, Brother Ken Board. He's in Japan right now, although he's really living in Florida now. And he was always giving me some different funny things to say. And I like to have a little humor, so you sort of get used to my voice and know what I'm sounding like and stuff. And I hope these two little things I have are funny. We'll see if you laugh or not. Okay, how many of you ever watched the Andy Griffith Show? Now, I'm glad there's older folks in here. With all the kids in here, I thought, man, they won't be putting their hands up. Well, most of you have, okay. And of course, as I said a few minutes ago, I'm grateful for my dear wife. We've been married for almost 52 years in December. But, you know, it just dawned upon me on the Andy Griffith Show in Mayberry, North Carolina. It was so peaceful and quiet, nobody was married. Here are some of the single people that come to mind. Andy, Opie, Aunt Bee, Barney, Floyd, Howard, Goober, Gomer, Sam, Ernest T. Bass, the Darling family, Helen, Thelma, Lou, and then Clara. In fact, the only one in town that was married was Otis. And he spent most of his time in jail. So if some of you are single out there, I guess you really have a peaceful life. But I'd rather be married. This is one I sort of like. I'll share this with you. I hope you haven't heard it before. A pastor had a preacher friend come in to speak at his church one Sunday. The guest preacher was a powerful speaker. And every time he would make a valid biblical truth, several amens and praise the Lord would pop up. This was good, but the more he would receive the amens, the longer he began to preach. And the guest preacher got to thinking, I've got to do something or he's just going to go on and on and on. So as, there we go. So as the guest preacher was preaching, every once in a while, the home host preacher would say, Amen, Pharaoh. And as the guest preacher kept speaking, and there would be more amens, and the guest host fellow said, Amen, Pharaoh. And after the service, the guest speaker said to the host pastor, what did you mean by saying Amen, Pharaoh? He responded by telling him, I was trying to say, let my people go. So if I hear a Amen, Pharaoh, from John over there, I'll know it's time to stop. I'm going just a couple different directions this morning. We will be going to Proverbs 3. This will be a couple text verses there. But I wanted to share something. I was involved at the LifeGate Baptist Church when I was about 23 years old. Dr. Ford Porter was the pastor. And he had a missions conference in 72, I believe it was. And he had known about this, and I gained information about it. The early history of Faith Promise Missions, just let me share this a little here. J. Oswald Sanders, pastor of the People's Church in Toronto, Canada, from 1934 to 1959, raised over $5 million for Faith Promise. Wow, that was a lot. The church supported over 100 missionaries around the world. In one of those years, they had up to about $700,000 come in. And these, bear in mind, were the Depression years. Several of them were. And that gave a ratio of 7-1 in ratio in missions giving as compared to annual church giving. Well, back to LifeGate Baptist Church, where Dr. Porter was the pastor, and he was the head of Indiana Baptist College, too, as well, the founder of it. And he was the author of God's Simple Plan of Salvation tract that you folks have probably used before. He used about 15 quotes from the era of Dr. Smith's times with the Faith Promise Conference. And I have a paper. I'm certainly not going to read these right now, but I've made a paper up, and you're welcome to get one after the service today. It gives 15 of some of the best missions quotes you could want. And it was just a blessing to me as a young Christian. They had those posted around the wall at the church, at that LifeGate Baptist Church, and you could read them and see them. And Dr. Porter would ask different people to read different ones. I am going to share, and I'll stop with this part of the service, though, what I'm saying. Let me just read a few statements and just think how it challenges your heart for missions. I'll just read 4 of the 15. God alone can save the world, but God can't save the world alone. Maybe some of you know that. You can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. That's a good statement, isn't it? Why should anyone hear the gospel twice before everyone has heard it once? And then God had one son, and he was a missionary. Amen. That's true, isn't it? Be sure to go to our table and pick one of these up for yourself afterwards. Proverbs 3. If you look at 3, 5, and 7, let's just read those for a moment, but that's not really my key verse, but I wanted to read them. You know, we're all familiar with Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, and 7, and maybe you could quote them from your heart, and that would be good if you could, and I try to, but let's just read them now. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes, only fear the Lord and depart from evil. Let's have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, I just thank you for this day and the privilege to be here. Thank you for others who are praying for me at this time. Quiet my heart before you, Lord. I have a burden on my heart to say things, but I can't come up with the words unless you help me and guide me. I thank you that you love us and care for us and be with the teens and the children now as brother and sister Godfrey are sharing with them. Just help them in a special way and guide them. Thank you for this wonderful missions conference. Thank you for the love of these peoples, for all the things they've done for us. We pray that you bless us and guide us and just give us a good afternoon as we share some things that might increase our burden for the love of the Lord Jesus. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I've read those three verses, but that's not my key verse. Turn to verse 27, please. I read those because I know they're all familiar with us. 3:27, and maybe it's one you're familiar with, but it's a verse that Debbie and I have liked so much that we've even have it on our prayer card. If you pick up one of our prayer cards, you'll see it there. And it says, withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is the power of thy hand to do it. We have our prayer card. You're welcome to pick up one of those, and it's on the back of there. And it's been a blessing to us to just think about this wonderful verse. I don't know in the Proverbs, the writer, if he was really thinking this was going to be a missions verse. And it could be used for other things too, but to me it's a good missions verse. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it's in the power of thine hand to do it. You could say a lot about this, and we will try and say some things about it. This one to be the missions emphasis today. I like this verse, and as I said, Debbie and I have it on our prayer card. How much can one say about this good verse? How does it apply to missions giving? Well, that's a good question. It certainly applies, I think, as we think about the things of more than simply giving of our monetary possessions, but giving of ourselves. How do we perceive when it is in the power of thy hand to do it? I just quoted this statement a minute ago. You've heard the mission statement. You can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. If you love, you're going to give. And I know it's just a blessing to give. And I know you folks here love to give. God blesses your heart, doesn't he, when you give. Scripture's admonition from Paul in 2 Corinthians 9, 6, and 7. You're welcome to turn that. It would be a familiar passage with you about giving. 2 Corinthians 9, 6, and 7. Paul says there to the Corinthians, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, but he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. God loves a hilarious giver. Are you giving hilariously? You know, my preacher, Dr. Jerry Hellenberg at Hope Baptist Church in Annapolis. He's a powerful preacher, and he's prone to shout and lift his hand and praise the Lord. And that's good. I like it when people do shout and praise the Lord. There's a good reason. Old preacher said, all that preaching ain't shouting, and all that shouting ain't preaching too. But sometimes, if you'll forgive me, I'm not prone to shout, but I'm prone to cry. So if you'll give me that leisure to do that, I'll be glad. Because you just can't outgive the Lord. We give, he gives back. I gave a brother back here a paper one time, because I preached one time, and I'm not going to talk about his testimony today, but R.G. Letourneau, the great developer of construction equipment during World War II, he always gave and gave. He started out giving 10% of his income, and by the time he was through overseer, he was giving 90% of his income to the Lord. Imagine that. He said God had a bigger shovel. He would put it out, and God just shoveled it back. That's what he said. Christian stewardship follows ideally from a heart of love for God and others rather from a sense of duty. How about your proposed missions giving beginning this year, through this conference and after this conference, and for the year ahead? Are you willing to trust the Lord to supply a certain amount to you each month as you pray and ask God to guide you? This is above your tithes and offerings. That's what faith promise missions is. You trust God to give you over and above what you're normally giving. If it's 10%, that's good. But you trust the Lord to help you give over and above that. Listen here just a minute. The children of Israel, as stubborn as they were willing to give to the Lord as Moses directed them. You're welcome to turn to this, but it's Exodus 35:5. I'll give you a chance to turn that, and I'll take a little sip of water if you would, please. Take ye from among an offering from the Lord. Whoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it an offering of the Lord, gold, silver, and brass. A willing heart, gold, silver, and brass. Well, that was the money exchange of the day, gold, silver, and brass, and those things. And so that's what they did. But yet he wanted us to give it from a willing heart. Are you giving from a willing heart? I trust you are. Debbie and I have been blessed by seeing great results from Faith Promise Missions. During our debutation time, as we traveled, we saw churches that did Faith Promise Missions, and our home church at that time didn't practice that. And it was really neat to see, and all the good testimonies from preachers, how they started out making $25 a week, and they committed to give $7.50 for the week, and they had three or four kids. And just to hear these good preachers and evangelists tell a story like that and how it came to pass, the Lord provided for them. That's great, isn't it? Debbie and I have been led of the Lord to give a designated amount over and above our tithe to our home church, Hope Baptist Church. But we love to give to missionaries too. We give to several BIMI missionaries because we love them. And we care for them. We pray for them. And so it's great to feel a part of that community of giving like that. At this time, I'd like to say some things about the value of military missions, because we still have a heart for military missions, and I know you folks do here. Several have come up to me and told me how you love military missions. Just out of curiosity, how many of you men or women were in the military? How many here? Well, praise the Lord. I'm sure Pastor John honors you Veterans Day at different times of the year. And that's good to be part of the military, but there's a lot of men and women out there that need to hear the gospel. And a lot of them are in the military. And we can't go right now. But maybe somebody in this church could go. I don't know. I was 53 when we started debutation. Wasn't exactly retired. A little retarded maybe, but I wasn't retired. And we felt led of the Lord to go and do what we could. Yeah, we didn't know. Debbie was timid about it because she said, I don't know how I'll relate to men and women, to the women in the military. I've never been in the military, but she did really well. So I just want to give a little report about BIMI military missions. And as I say that, we just got these new brochures from the home office. Pick one up. the military, a mission field. And maybe you know someone who would like to consider being a military missionary, or you could encourage them to do so. Just listen to these statistics a little bit that's in the program there. Currently, around 70 missionaries serve the military with BIMI in several countries of the world. Over 50 churches have been established by BIMI military missionaries among the military. Churches have been started in over 30 strategic areas around the world. But listen to this sad statistic. It comes from the Veterans Bureau of Affairs. Every 23 hours, an active duty member takes his or her life. Every 23 hours. Every 90 minutes, a veteran will take their own life. And then we're talking about active duty people first. And while we were in Sasebo, there was one or two or three we heard of that had committed suicide on board ship because of lack of hope and lack of knowing about Jesus. This is a great need for military missions. Now I'd like to go back to Faith Promise missions a minute, if we could, please. Giving through Faith Promise, regular tithes and offerings. Our key verses, Proverbs 3:27. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is the power of thine hand to do it. Are you and I withholding the possessions that God has blessed us with when it comes to tithing or missions giving? Are we holding back? Now, many of you aren't. Many of you are giving generously and lovingly to this church and to the missions folks you have. We appreciate that. Debbie and I, for almost 17 years, have been really blessed with this church to have that monthly amount come in. And we thank you for it. And you support other fine missionaries, too. Does Jesus have something to say about teaching the joy of giving? Well, if you would, please. We don't have a lot of scriptures today, but 2 Corinthians 8:9. Let's just look at that. 2 Corinthians has a lot to do with grace giving. And I'm not really preaching on that exactly today, but it has a lot to say about grace giving. 2 Corinthians, same chapter. 2 Corinthians 8:9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. You know, his grace, first of all, must be experienced in our own personal salvation. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Salvation is all by faith, all through grace, and all by Christ. That's the only way of salvation. Many people today try and get other ways of going to heaven, but there's no other way. It's only through knowing Jesus Christ and through his shed blood on the cross of Calvary. We must experience this grace in giving too, as God wants us to. And it's a special thing when we do that. Let's just think a minute once again about remember what Paul taught us. Acts 20:35, if you go that way and just look there a minute, you've always heard it's more blessed to give than receive. Well, this is where the verse is, Acts 20:35. And let's look at it together just a minute. It says, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of our Lord Jesus, how he said it's more blessed to give than to receive. Have you heard that before? Have you experienced it in your life? It's more blessed to give than receive. Sometimes this giving, you know, many people on the corners now pleading for money. I like to give them a gospel tract and a dollar bill. You say, well, you don't know where that's going. Well, I don't know, but God does. There you go. Have a burden. Try and help him if you can. You can't always do it, but if you can. I've had experience before when somebody said, oh, I'm hungry. And I was downtown in Indianapolis cashing my paycheck or something one week, and guy begging for me, well, let's go over here. Let's go to Subway, and I'll buy you a sandwich and drink and tips, whatever you need. Sometimes that might be the way you need to give to somebody. Just, you know, instead of giving them $5 bill or something, which they could use for something not so good, but take them and buy them some food. Give them some food if they're hungry. Amen. Where was this statement made? Well, where did Jesus say this? Brother, I was in Ohio one time, and I can't remember the name of the pastor right now. It'll come to me after the service. We were in the missions meeting, and his whole message was on this verse. Where did it come from? Where did Jesus say this? But his conclusion was, even though we don't know where exactly said this, it's through the inspiration of scriptures. You know, all scriptures are given by the inspiration of God and profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, instruction, and righteousness. So it came somewhere in the scriptures, and Paul wrote it down. So I believe it's true. Jesus says it's more blessed to give than receive. Well, then how do we perceive the last part of verse 27, when it is the power of thy hand to do it? How do you know when it's the power of your hand to do it, to give out? You probably will need to form an answer for this yourself. But we don't have any special powers of our own, do we? We think of Philippians 4:13, it's been quoted before in this, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. If you're going to give, or if you're going to work in Sunday school, or if you're going to help in the bus ministry, or whatever you might do in this church, it's going to have to be through the power of Christ, not in your own strength. I don't have any own strength. I just can't do it. I need the Lord's help.
That's right.
And we all need that, don't we? All need his help. Well, I believe that the word there in 20 could be applied to our ability to give to the Lord's work. Many of us work and earn, so to speak, nominal wages. Okay, that's fine. And there's nothing wrong with that. But some maybe even, then some of us have exceptional jobs that allow us to be blessed with extraordinary income. And that might refer to some of you in here. I don't know. I'm not trying to find out what anybody makes or gives, and pastor doesn't do that either. But is this the idea that we all come from different backgrounds? Some of us may be struggling to just make ends meet because of sickness in our home or because of being laid off from work. But everybody can still give. We certainly know the widow gave her two mites. We know that story. She gave all that she had. She just said she could have given one mite, I suppose. But she gave it all. She gave two mites. We all have the ability to give. In our families, our children, our teens, and the whole families can be involved in Faith Promise missions. I remember hearing stories at different churches about a young boy. He wanted to give so much to Faith Promise missions. So throughout the summer, he mowed grass and mowed yard all he could to make money. And he was able to meet his Faith Promise commitment because of that. So everybody can give. God wants everybody to give. God has been blessing First Baptist Church. Just imagine what God will do if we allow him to work in our hearts through Faith Promise giving. A Faith Promise offering is between you and God. It's not something that everybody needs to know or the pastor needs to know. Usually when we do a Faith Promise offering through a church or through our home church there, it's just a commitment thing. It doesn't even have your name on it, but you put on it how much you want to give or how much you feel the Lord would have you give per month. And you don't sign that, but you just turn it in and you have a piece you tear off so you'll remember. And then you have a piece that the church has that they can add up and see how much their Faith Promise was giving. We have a smaller church in our area, and they've been our missionary supporting church for about as long as this church has, and they probably have about 100 on Sunday, maybe not that much all the time. And now they have about 40 missionaries, and they're giving $150 a month. Isn't that wonderful? Because every year it increases, it just mushrooms up and grows bigger and bigger. Let's look at Luke 6:38. I picked out all the verses I could think about that are good for giving, and you may know this one by heart. Luke 6:38. I'll let you turn to it a minute. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured unto you again. Give, and it shall be given unto you. That might relate to other things besides just money. But if you give, you have a spirit of giving in your heart and you give, God's going to bless you, and He's going to bless a giving church. He's going to see that it grows. I think this, I've heard Pastor John as driving the bus that this has been a real light for this church. It's really been a big help for the church. You find folks here in the church are willing to put everything together to make it happen, and then you're willing to be blessed by getting to know the missionaries and praying for the missionaries. It's really a great thing for this church. It's a fact we can't outgive the Lord, as I mentioned earlier. And one of the old mission statements that's on there, it says, you can't take it with you, but you can send it on ahead. That's a good thought, isn't it? You can't take it with you, but you can send it on ahead. So it'll be there, and souls will be saved because of the money you give. All of these concepts about faith promise missions have no meaning if you have not received Jesus Christ as your Savior. We say, well, Brother Steve, probably everybody here today is a Christian in this room. Well, I don't know that. Only God knows that. Romans 3:10 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Oops, the wrong scripture. That's Romans 3:23. Romans 3:10 says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. And Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. In Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Most of you have called upon the name of the Lord, but maybe there's someone today that hasn't. You know, I'm amazed with the statement of John Newton, who wrote Amazing Grace. He said, I'm a great sinner, and Christ is a great Savior. Isn't that true? Now, I'm a little older, and I don't memorize things as well as I used to. I keep cards in my pocket to try and memorize when I have a downtown. Used to do that in the Navy, brother. There was a lot of times in the Navy where just didn't have much to do, so I started putting 3x5 cards in my pocket, and then I'd get them out and try and learn the verses. I was better doing it then now. But I just want to share this short poem with you, and I've tried to memorize it. It's by an old-timer named Horatius Bonar. 'Twas I that shed that sacred blood. I nailed him to the tree. I crucified the Christ of God. I joined the mockery. Listen to this part. But not the less, his blood avails to wash away my sins. And not the less, his cross prevails to give me peace within. Isn't that, if we all had that, each one of us, me included, all had that ingrained in our heart, 'twas I that shed the sacred blood. I nailed him to the tree. I crucified the Christ of God. I joined the mockery, but not the less. His blood avails to wash away my sin, and not the less, his cross prevails to give me peace within. Lord, thank you for this time. Now, as Brother John comes to have the invitation, I pray that you bless him and guide him and the people, that they might make a decision that they need in their heart, whatever it might be. We thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen.